This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The legal way donors jump over limits on funding their favorite candidate. I'm David Brancaccio, leading today with one of our check-ins on political donations in this election year. Today, organizations with punchy names such as Biden Victory Fund or Trump's Save America. These are fundraising outfits that make it possible to bring in lots of donations without running afoul of contribution limits. Back in 2020, these joint fundraising committees, JFCs, raised more than $2.5 billion, according to Open Secrets, which tracks campaign finance data. So far this election cycle, they've pulled in $1 billion and counting. For more, I'm joined by Marketplace's senior Washington correspondent, Kimberly Adams. Hey, Kimberly.
Hey, David.
What are these things? How is a joint fundraising committee different from a PAC or a candidate campaign?
You can think of them sort of as umbrella organizations. They can include a candidate's committee, a PAC or a political action committee, national party committees, state party committees, convention committees. The list goes on. But the key thing is that while each of these groups has a limit to how much one person can donate to them, when they connect under that umbrella of the joint fundraising committee, they can combine all those limits together and ask donors for one big check. I had Ki Hong, lead of the political law group at the firm Skadden Arps, walk me through some of the numbers for the presidential race.
You can give $41,300 per year to the National Party Committee's main account. You can give another $123,900 to each of the special accounts that the DNC and the RNC have, plus another $6,600 for the candidate's campaign. And then you add up $10,000 for each of the state party committees that participate.
And there can be like 51 of those state parties. So you can see, I know DC is not a state, but whatever. You can see how those numbers add up pretty quickly. Hong works with companies often on the receiving end of these asks and says last cycle, JFCs were asking for around $600,000 checks. This cycle, upwards of $800,000.
$800,000. Why raise money this way instead of each campaign maintaining its own list of donors, though?
It's a faster way to raise money from very wealthy donors and groups rather than dozens of individual campaigns reaching out and asking for that money and having the individual having to track the limits on each of those donations. They can write one big check that gets distributed via a formula, usually the candidate first, then the party or other groups. But it's also a way to share operating expenses and for the stars of a party to raise money that can then get spread out in other races. Here's lawyer Ki Hong again.
The most successful JFCs you see out there are the well-entrenched, long-standing members of Congress, right? So those who are leaders, they don't have any worries about their own election. It's a way for them to help out their colleagues.
Some successful examples of this are the Jeffries Victory Fund or the Scalise Leadership Fund, named after those members of Congress.
All right. So sharing still a practice in Washington after all. Marketplace's senior Washington correspondent, Kimberly Adams, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And a report by the advocacy organization Public Citizen finds that super political action committees, super PACs, backed by cryptocurrency firms, have become one of the top three fundraisers this cycle, raising more than $100 million at a time crypto finance regulation is being shaped. There's a surprise profit from Disney out today, with Hulu and Disney Plus doing well, compensating for ESPN Plus and regular TV that are not. The stock is down 5% in pre-market trading.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's Ascensus.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The Biden administration has triggered another slice of money from the 2021 Infrastructure Act, $3 billion, to replace water supply pipes made of lead. It's the latest installment of $15 billion to pay to get toxic heavy metal out of drinking water. The president has promised to replace every lead water pipe in the country. Marketplace's Kaylee Wells has more on the latest money.
This most recent installment brings the total federal investment up to $9 billion. Bruno Piggott with the EPA says we're just at the beginning of the timeline to remove lead pipes.
We've got a proposed rule that requires the vast majority of systems around the country to remove their lead service lines in 10 years.
All told, the EPA estimates there are about 9 million lead pipes nationwide that need replacing. And with the money earmarked so far,
we can replace nearly two of those 9 million pipes across the country. But that's not really the end of the story,
because there's more than $6 billion to come from the federal government. State and local governments and utilities will have to make up the difference. But Eric Olson with the Natural Resources Defense Council says this level of federal support is unprecedented.
This is a really big deal. This is the largest investment in U.S. history in drinking water infrastructure, and specifically on funding to pull out these lead pipes.
The EPA has found no level of lead is safe. Olson says the pipes that connect water mains on the street to fixtures in homes are the worst culprits.
EPA's estimate is that this pulling out of all the lead pipes will actually save thousands of lives because of reduced cardiovascular disease.
It'll also cut public health costs and improve the lifetime earning potential of kids and adults whose exposure to lead will be slashed. Almost half of the funding is earmarked for disadvantaged communities, where people are more likely to live in older buildings with lead service lines. That's according to Benjamin Nguyen, a professor at Johns Hopkins University who has studied the effects of lead-contaminated water.
And if you're living in areas where people are predominantly renters rather than owners, then the owners of those homes aren't incentivized to remove those lead service lines, and the renters don't have the wherewithal to remove those lead service lines themselves.
Nguyen's biggest concern? While we wait for lead pipes to get replaced, communities will still need resources to test and purify their water. I'm Kaylee Wells for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.